Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Mobility Radio, featuring industry leaders and innovators in mobile technology.
Good morning. This is Brett Cooper from Blue Fletch Mobile. I have two great guests on this morning to talk about mobility in the enterprise and mobility in Atlanta. Little quick updates on news of the last week in mobility. So Google had a big announcement talking about Lollipop, which they released the name. So L is now Lollipop, and they're selling their new Nexus devices to compete with the iPhone devices. Apple Pay finally rolled out. So if you've been to a Whole Foods or another expensive store in the last couple of days, you probably noticed that they have Apple Pay as an option to pay. And then Apple also had a small announcement around their iPad. I don't know if anybody saw that, but it was definitely not super exciting to a lot of people. It was, it's the same device with a button, with the same button on the phone. So it wasn't super exciting. But I got two great guests here today. I'm going to start out. It's Kabir Barde. Is the pronunciation, is that correct?
Exactly.
Got it. Fantastic. From AirWatch. And thanks for having us on today. Can you talk a little bit about just quick background on what AirWatch does? I know there's a lot of noise about it in Atlanta, and people hear about it all the time. Just what's give the 1 minute or 2 minute overview of what you guys actually do.
Yeah, absolutely. AirWatch is a software that helps IT departments feel comfortable with the security of a mobile device, so they allow their employees to bring their own device, and then it provides some productivity tools for end users to do things like document sharing, email, web browsing, all in a corporate environment.
Cool. And in the industry, that's called that. It's MDM is the terminology for that?
MDM's mobile device management.
Mobile device management. Yep. And the for you guys, what's your range of clients? What people typically use AirWatch? Is it small companies, big companies?
It's all across the board. So the problem with mobility is it ranges from a company with 50,000, 60,000 employees, where it's just a sheer scale and size problem, as well as, you know, the House of Representatives, the Senate, small hedge funds, where even just 5 or 10 devices could result in a lawsuit if the wrong information is left in a cab. We do things in retail and finance across the board.
Cool. And then, I guess for an example, so you said you have government agencies using it. What do they actually do with AirWatch? What does that look like for them to use it?
Yeah. So they go through an enrollment process with our software on the phone. We do some security encryption. We add some passcode policies on the device. And we are constantly running in the background monitoring for malicious activity. And then once everything has been signed off as okay by our security software, we allow that company to put email, put documents, distribute just productivity information to those end users.
Cool. So you keep the devices secure and you get the apps and software on it.
Absolutely.
Nice. And you guys were recently, I noticed on your website, it's by VMware is the new title, AirWatch by VMware. So you guys are going through an acquisition or went through an acquisition. Can you talk a little bit about that yet? Or is that still?
Yeah, absolutely. So the acquisition closed in February. And so VMware is a company out of California. They do virtualization. And so they're very much focused on the desktop side, trying to get into the mobility side. And where we see the industry going in general is really that unity between mobile and desktop and laptop going forward, and really enabling a seamless end user experience from when I'm using my iPhone, do I switch to my PC, when I switch to my smart car in the future, and having that seamless, consistent experience. And so having that VMware virtualization, laptop, desktop, legacy paired with mobility really helps us set that vision.
Cool. It's probably a lot cheaper for your licenses for your virtual boxes too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. And it's saving money right away. Just another question I had was the, in general, the just trend-wise, you guys are saying there's a lot of changes with, like I said, the new Lollipop coming out, and there's also the iOS 8 came out, and there's Pay. Like, what are you guys seeing interesting trends in mobility and in the enterprise space? Are those things picking up quickly there?
Yeah, absolutely. We're really seeing the operating systems mature from what security they provide just completely out of the box. Apple was the first one really to get there with iOS 7. They added a lot of security functionalities for companies directly into the operating system. We're seeing Windows with Windows 10 adding those types of capabilities. Android with Lollipop is adding those capabilities. So we're seeing just this trend of the operating system solving a lot of the problems, which makes the job of AirWatch easier on one hand, and with our customers now focusing much more on applications than the device. So how do we enable that same level of consistency across all of the apps, and how do we help companies build custom apps and things like that? So that's really how it's changing for us.
Cool. And BYOD is a term that definitely hear a lot these days. Can you talk about BYOD and what that means to you guys, and how you help companies with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So BYOD stands for bring your own device. It's a IT term where an employee can bring their own device into the workplace and use it for their work phone calls, their apps, and get all their email on it. That's really the industry trend that our company was founded and focused on, is how do we enable that trend. And it's really not too much different from an AirWatch perspective on whether a company buys a device or whether somebody brings their own device. A lot of times from an IT perspective, they set pretty consistent security policies on everyone's device. If they don't want it jailbroken, if it's a company, the device, they likely don't want it jailbroken if it's a personal device. Really where we're seeing things start to shift is into the bring your own laptop, which gets a little bit more interesting, and then bring your own apps and bring your own data. And how do you intermingle those in a corporate environment?
What does that look like for me as an individual? So if I bring my own cell phone and you know, my company says, we're using AirWatch, and they push down apps and things with it and my email and those pieces, what are you guys able to glean off my device? Are you going through my Tinder records and other things like that? What does that look like for people on the end?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. We get asked that a lot, actually. We have a way of deploying our software in a BYOD environment that is very respectful of privacy. We actually deploy our software in a completely what's called a containerized environment, where we only have access to a corporate sandbox on the device. So we can't see personal apps. We can't see your personal browsing. We can't see your personal email. We're only in control over a corporate space on the device. And then say you want to take your device and go home, you don't want to keep corporate information on it, we could just selectively remove that corporate data off of the device. And so a lot of it's up to how a company implements our software. That's typically how we recommend implementing it. More security conscious organizations may choose to track and see everything. So yeah. Typically we wouldn't do that in a BYOD environment. So
Jennifer Lawrence would definitely purchase some AirWatch licenses.
Oh yeah, we would stop the iCloud backup.
Nice. Can you also just talk about the, in general, a lot of the newer technology. So Apple Watch, they announced Watch coming out Q1, whatever that means, probably next April or June. And I know a lot of retailers have been picking up on leveraging beacons and location-based services. I think the terminology that it's most commonly talked about there is the Internet of Things, and everything becomes smart and everything has awareness of the network and is able to communicate with one another. What is AirWatch doing to help manage these billions and billions of devices that are going to be coming into enterprise and company over the next 2 years or 10 years?
Absolutely. We've actually already started getting into the machine-to-machine is kind of the traditional term for it, the Internet of Things space. Actually, our chairman was just at the Cisco Internet of Things conference doing one of the keynotes there recently. I'll give you an example with Apple. About, I think, a year ago, 2 years ago, when they released the Apple TV, we could consider that an Internet of Things device. Apple actually built into that operating system management capabilities for companies to use AirWatch to secure those devices, auto-configure the Wi-Fi policies on them. So you think of an Apple TV in a company environment, you can use that to replace a traditional projector. And you think of the pain companies have when they're constantly having to keep multiple connectors and dongles in a conference room. Apple TVs get rid of all of that. But then they have to manage the Wi-Fi on them, the language settings. And so AirWatch provides the ability to do all of that. So that was one of the first machine-to-machine type of interactions. We do printers, smart batteries. We're doing some projects where we're just monitoring just kind of, refreshment machines kind of across the globe for different organizations. So we're absolutely getting into that space.
Cool. I guess as more and more devices come onto the network, so for you guys, what do you see as the biggest challenge for enterprises? So big companies, let's say, a Home Depot or a Coca-Cola here in town, what are the really, really big things that they have to deal with as they add more and more devices?
Yeah, so the biggest thing for us is helping companies manage change in kind of a mobile environment. So traditionally, you know, you mentioned you have a little bit of the Windows CE background. Companies like Walmart could buy a Windows CE device and use those for 20 years and never have to upgrade the operating system, have a very stable environment. Companies that we're working with today will buy an iPhone and then or 1,000 iPads, 2,000 iPads, and then 6 months later, the operating system gets updated and they can't even stop it. So helping companies build a model of having more of a proactive support governance structure where they're constantly certifying new operating systems and they're not just stuck to an Apple or iOS or Android device. They're constantly evaluating the different device types out there because the reality is, say you deploy an iPod Touch, you're only spending $200 on that device, whereas traditionally a company asset would cost several thousand devices. So it opens up the door much more for rotating devices, staying up to date with latest operating systems, even throwing out the devices and getting new ones. So just it's a whole new mindset we have to coach customers through.
Yeah, definitely a challenge going from the 10-year devices to the 18-month devices.
Yep.
It's a big change there. Can you also talk about the I guess Android versus iOS versus Apple, versus Microsoft. And what do you guys support there? And what does the different mix look like for you? And what are you seeing in the enterprise? Any interesting trends?
Yeah, so we always call ourselves the Switzerland of mobility. We're completely device agnostic nice. And we support any and all. So just the fact that a company is using mobility becomes a customer of ours. And, you know, we help be as prescriptive as we can, but there are very different reasons today you'd want to use iOS versus Android. The reality is iOS innovated much quicker in being able to support enterprise capabilities, which is a little bit counterintuitive when you think about just the Apple brand being focused on consumer. So, over 70% of our kind of devices are iOS. We see a huge market share, but we see Android and Windows really catching up with what they're doing at an operating system level. So, we have a lot of retailers that are using locked down Android tablets. We have a lot of schools that are using iOS devices. So usually we'll see preferences at a specific industry level, but kind of on a macro scale, we support any and all. Even BlackBerry, Symbian, QNX, we support laptops, Mac OS X, you name it, we do it.
With the laptops, what does that look like for you guys? Is it similar in it's just a device that you have policies, you push things down, or are there any different challenges to laptops, you know, that are out wandering around versus phones?
Yeah, so what's interesting is there's a traditional way IT departments always managed laptops, and it was always this heavyweight imaging, kind of patching, pushing really big software updates and coordinating and scheduling it. We're seeing all of that go away with what Microsoft's doing in 8 and with what OS X's doing. They've actually built the same management capabilities that are available on an iOS device and a Windows phone. They've built those directly into the laptops themselves. And it allows an IT organization to use a solution like AirWatch to really manage it in this BYOD lightweight approach where you still give an end user flexibility to download their own software, but you do run a security software on the device and can still configure it over the air. So
yeah, cool stuff. And then the next question I had is just kind of a following on from that. You have all of these devices out there, different types. What keeps Apple or one of these other companies from trying to offer like a similar offering to what AirWatch has? What's the competitive advantage you guys have and the key for why people would use you as opposed to something that Apple would try to build?
Yeah, absolutely. So Apple, Google, and Microsoft all offer their own MDM. They actually have built their own implementation of kind of their own APIs. And the difference is it's not a device agnostic approach, right? So if a company wants to be
Google's
able to...
Google's not Switzerland.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I'll give you an example. Apple's not going to give BlackBerry or Microsoft or Google their latest APIs when it comes out for iOS 8. They will give AirWatch those APIs. And in today's mobile environment, same-day support for latest operating systems is critical. And Apple's going to work with AirWatch with that. They're not going to work with Google on that. And so it really is, you really need some sort of neutral player in the space to work with all of the vendors.
Cool. And when someone purchases AirWatch, it's day one support. So as soon as iOS 8 comes out, you guys have it out of the box, works perfect.
Yeah, we've actually designed a way of supporting it well in advance. So we actually upgrade, we have a cloud software. So we upgrade all of our cloud environments weeks in advance of an operating system launch, and we keep all of the features dormant in that environment. And then the minute that the operating system gets pushed live, we turn a switch and all customers are able to support it.
Cool. So speaking of the cloud, so you guys, I'm assuming sport, you mentioned earlier, sport companies, small and large. If I'm a smaller company, how would I engage AirWatch? How would I leverage AirWatch? Let's say I only have 200 devices for my businesses. How would I go about taking advantage of your software?
Yeah, so our website's air-watch.com, and right on the homepage, you'll see all of our pricing information, all of our packages, and you can contact us to have someone reach out to you right away.
Wait, so you guys charge for this?
We,
no. That's awesome. So it's air-watch.com?
Yes, sir.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Kabir, thank you for being here today, and we'll come back to some more questions in a little bit. But next up is Lisa West, and Lisa has a very, very long background working in mobile and mobile marketing. So I think it's been about 15-plus years working in the industry. So kind of like I said earlier, it's definitely back in the old boring days when it was just BlackBerries and other types of devices. You've seen a lot of change, and you also did, I think, your last big initiative. You were running the IHG mobile marketing for a number of years. Now you're running West Marketing Group, independent consulting, I'm guessing advising companies. So tell us what you've been up to. What are you what are you doing these days?
Thanks. Thanks for having me. That's I appreciate it. So I left IHG back in August and have been advising some small startup companies and mid-size on their mobile marketing strategies, in addition to just sort of omni-channel marketing.
Can you talk about, what is a mobile marketing strategy?
Sure.
So we can describe that. So if I'm a startup, I want to do something like, and I say, Lisa, help me have a mobile marketing strategy. What does that look like for people that are engaging? Do you have any good examples?
Yes, without naming companies. Say it's a consumer-facing app, right? And they're trying to get the word out about their app and their service, and so how do we go to market, making sure that they have the right technologies within their app to be able to track and, you know, have all those wonderful analytics that can then help them go to market even better and be more strategic about how they go to market. And that includes owned media, if they have any kind of database or if they have any partners that they can work with for, you know, cross-marketing. And then paid media, what kind of approaches should they take on the paid media front? If they're a retailer, what can they do in store?
Cool. So I'm a company and I have a mobile app. What does that process look like to get people engaged, actually download? Like when you sit down with somebody, how do you whiteboard that out? What's the first thing you do?
Yeah, really identifying what the value is for the consumer. What are we going to offer them that's going to get them to download that app, right? Do they have a loyalty program, which is probably the strongest because, you know, your device is individual to you. You're going to keep things on your device that are very personal and brands that you're loyal to. So, you know, do I have that many brand apps on my phone? Not really.
Yeah.
But the ones that I am loyal to where I earn something from that brand, I will have it on my phone.
Yeah, the Starbucks you're at every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. The fact that I can now go and order ahead of time and pay for it, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that's a perfect example, right? So Starbucks is giving me my time back, so I don't have to stand in line or in the drive-thru as long because they're making the process for me to get my coffee faster, more efficient. And I earn points. And then I can get my free coffee someday.
Nice, nice. Just keeping you in the cycle. What's the, for you, when you look at across the industry, are there certain leaders you see out there doing a really, really good job of their mobile marketing, or anybody that are on the lagging side? Any, you know, pros versus cons that you're seeing
out there?
Let's not talk about the laggers. Just tell me about the leaders. Who are the two or three brands you look at and you say they're doing a good job engaging and keep people, I think you mentioned Starbucks, but who's anybody else you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, Starbucks obviously is far and away one of the best. I think that the pharmacy companies are doing a really good job. CVS Walgreens, I think they're doing a great job. You know, it's interesting for me, who I think is doing a great job are those companies that I see promoting to me. But I am just a specific demographic. So I like shoes, right? So I get ads from you know, all of those sort of luxury apps out there like Gilt Group and Joss & Main, where I like furniture and,
nice.
You know.
It sounds like you picked up my wife's phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so it's a lot of retail. Leading the way for getting people engaged and keep people in stores.
Right. I mean, if they're providing me a reason to come in or to order because I'm part of this elite group that has their app, heck yeah, I'll download it.
Yeah. What are things you see or have you seen in the past work well with loyalty programs and keeping customers engaged?
A great question. Keeping loyalty members engaged, I would say, you know, once you have them download the app, then it's not just about getting them download. You need to retain them, right? So there needs to be a strategy around retaining those members and being able to offer them an incentive to stay with you and keep their app on their phone and be able to continually spend money. So are they offering me things that I don't get from going to their online, you know, the desktop, or do I get things on my mobile device, you know, push notifications or SMS messages or, you know, location-based things that I'm not going to get somewhere else. Keeping that content fresh, I think, is really important to retain those customers.
Cool. And can you talk about a little bit location-based marketing? So I know there's a lot of location-based technologies. What are some cool things people should be doing or thinking about in that space?
Oh, boy. There's a lot. I mean, you know, you could talk about anything from beacon technology, which is kind of up-and-coming technology, to just, you know, mobile advertising that's location-based. A lot of companies say they do location-based advertising, and they really don't. So from part of the strategy that I provide is letting them know which ones really work and which ones don't. There are some companies that say, yeah, we'll get it down to the, you know, 1 mile radius or a block radius. And in actuality, it's like across town. So you're doing a disservice to your
clients. So just annoying the customers at that point in time.
Yeah.
What's that line of annoying customers versus keeping them delighted and keeping them from deleting the app? There's some apps that, you know, start pushing stuff and I'm like, I just hold and press delete. Like, how do you make that work?
That is a fantastic question. It's a fine line. It certainly is. And I learned that the hard way, you know, working with IHG, we got push notification capability and we're like, let's do it. Let's send out some push notifications. And then people were like, I would look at like the Google Play reviews or, you know, the reviews on Apple, and they're like, stop sending me push notifications, please. I mean, it was like every day. And I'm like, okay, we need to ease up. Only if there is something of value. Like, let's not just push something out to say good morning, right?
Looks like you're in the hotel. Would you like room service? It's been 5 minutes. Would you like some more?
Yeah, right. You just keep going and going, and they're just going to delete the app or they're going to turn their notifications off. But I think it is a fine line. And with the advent of beacon technology, I think it's going to get very convoluted. Consumers aren't going to know where necessarily the messages are coming from, so they won't know what to disable, and then they'll just delete the app altogether. But with beacon technology, there's sort of an added step for consumers to go through, which is obviously Bluetooth technology, turning that on and having your app with Apple, you don't have to have it on, like running in the background. But I think it's a big ask for customers to do. But there better be a bucket of gold at the other side
free ice cream.
Yeah, something, right? I'm not going to just turn it on to have somebody push messages to me to say good morning.
Definitely, get annoying really fast. And then you mentioned a little bit about analytics and trying to segment. I know that's been the holy grail, I think, for marketing. And the really upside of the internet was the ability to track down to the individual person or the individual sale. On mobile, are there any particular challenges around analytics and capturing that data?
There's a lot of them. A lot. And that really is the golden nugget when we can figure out how to do that. You know, there's cookies that doesn't really work in mobile. I mean, they have them on Google, but it's not, it's really difficult to track individuals. We can't, you know, track UDIDs or anything like that. So there are some ways sort of around it, especially if you have a database of your customers, whether that's email address, phone number, mobile phone number, obviously. You can work with partners such as, you know, credit card data and trying to match those up so that you can get a clearer picture of who your customers are and getting that data and the conversion data down to the cart level. It's really difficult. So it is a it's definitely a work in progress because it's always changing. But you need to have a strategy on how
but
you want to go about that.
Once you get there, that's where the real value is. Once you're able to identify that customer and yeah. And all the data around them, that's what the real value of the marketing starts occurring, right?
Yeah, and then that's where we get into omnichannel marketing, which
Can you describe omnichannel?
Yeah, I mean, omnichannel marketing is really just saying, how can I track a customer across devices, right? Maybe AirWatch does something around that. I don't know. But you guys have email addresses, which obviously makes it probably pretty easy to track across device. But if I am trying to, if I'm trying to buy a couch, and I'm on, I have no idea if this is part of the makeup of the company or not, but say I'm on Crate and Barrel.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. If I'm on Crate and Barrel's website and I find something that I like and I may, you know, add it to my wish list or something, I don't even know if they have that capability. But then I am going to Crate and Barrel, right? And I've got my phone with me. Am I going to receive some kind of message or incentive or something that will, or can I push an ad out to that person to let them know that, hey, that couch you were interested in is actually on sale right now, and I might not have seen that when I was on my desktop yesterday.
Or in stock.
You know, couches never are. But that's sort of an example of omnichannel marketing, is following somebody across channels.
Cool. And then can you talk about ads within applications? So I know there's a lot of apps out there. I think Flappy Bird's the most famous one this year. Was the that people are selling things for? I guess other. What are people actually doing to monetize apps from an advertising standpoint? What's your thoughts around that? Is that good, bad? Where does that fall?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a publisher, right? If you're trying to have a separate revenue line, will it work? Somebody I think who's doing a great job.
Sounds like a question mark at the end there.
It's a big question mark. Will it work for the advertisers? And are they going to build up a following that they are truly having people click through those ads? A great example and a great app is the Weather Channel app, right? They do a phenomenal job of advertising on mobile, whether it's tablet or phone, because they make it very relevant to the person and the place that they're at or the place that they're looking to go. They can push out ads based on the zip code that somebody's entered in. They may not know who I am, but they've got some information about me because of what I'm searching. So I think they do a really, really great job. And they've built up, people click through those ads because they are so relevant.
I click through the videos. I could spend an hour on the Weather Channel app.
Yeah, the one like the lizard with the two heads.
Shark
and
tornado,
the...
I'm in there. You'll never believe what happens next.
but I think they do a phenomenal job. Awesome. So as a publisher.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the right way to do it. And then for, I guess, just getting people to – so if you're a small company, so let's say a startup here in town wants to engage somebody like you or wants to go out and hire a marketing agency, what is that process like? So I know a lot of people are good at the technology. They're good at building and understanding how to give something of value to somebody. How do they engage a marketer, and what should they be looking to do from a mobile standpoint?
I mean, it really depends on what the offering is, right? But say it's very consumer-focused, the best ones are going to be utility-based apps where they are essentially providing a service to somebody who is on the move, right? They need to do something. Like IHG is a perfect example of a utility app, or Weather is another example. They're providing me a service in the moment. So how would a startup go about it? you know, let's say they are utility app, and that's just an easy one. It's really looking at your audience and how much information you have about them, making sure that you have those analytics and the analytics packages built into your app so that you can track, you know, who's doing what. I mean, even if it's Google Analytics to start with, right? Yeah. Just so I know, are people actually downloading my app on Windows, or do I have like two, right? I mean, do I need to focus my efforts on in which areas? On iOS, I know on Android, Windows, on Windows? What's that?
I know those two Windows 8 guys.
Yeah.
I know both of them.
They're loyal, though, I'll
they
tell
are.
You.
They definitely are.
It's a beautiful interface. So really looking at your audience and what their makeup is, and then how do we go to market? Do we have a way to reach out to them through owned media, which is, of course, the most inexpensive? Do we need to have a paid media approach? And for somebody being in mobile marketing, I'll tell you, I am not a big, huge believer in banner ads. I've done a lot of test and learn over the years, and I don't think unless you are so focused in on your audience, it's not going to be effective.
What about ads within content? So I know Pinterest is starting to put ads on boards, and Twitter's been doing it for a while. What's your thoughts on conversion around that and the value of that to companies?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, like I said, the more relevant and contextual the message, the better. So if I'm looking up DIY projects on how to whitewash my brick fireplace, which I just did. If I'm looking up DIY videos or whatever, and I did look on Pinterest. If Home Depot is hitting me up with an ad for paint that's 30% off, well, yeah, that's going to be effective because I'm in the moment thinking about doing that. So,
relevancy of the material that's being presented to the users.
Yeah, in the moment.
What's your thoughts on Android versus Apple? And I know marketers have historically preferred Apple. What's your take on that?
I'll tell you, I've done a lot of research on that in that area, just through, IHG and what I would see trending, and then just industry, and it matches perfectly. So what we see is that there are more Android users, a lot more users on Android. It's a less expensive device typically, and some people, you know, give those to their kids or whatever because they are less expensive than an iPhone.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, iOS users, iPhone users, spend twice as much, if not more. So, you know, you got to think about your audience, and are you going to put all your eggs in the Android basket? They're not going to spend any money. Right? Or are you going to put them money towards iOS?
Kaber, do you guys see that with AirWatch? When you guys are going out to customers, do you find that the less price sensitive ones are the BYOD that have Apple devices, or is it really in enterprises immune to the device type and more focused on functionality?
For us, it's a little bit more geographically separated. So, primarily in the U.S. Whether it's BYOD or corporate-owned devices, everyone's buying iPhones. When you start getting into Asia-Pacific and India and Singapore, you see a lot more Android. Especially in India, we've started our presence in India, and it's Android across the board. So that's really where we're seeing the difference, not really within a certain kind of type of consumer within the U.S. or anything.
Is there any place where you're seeing a lot of Windows or BlackBerry? I heard that Asia still has a lot of BlackBerry devices. Is that for you guys? Do you see any trends around that?
So we saw a foothold on BlackBerry in Toronto.
Yeah, that's about it.
Oddly enough,
all the employees.
That's strange. Yeah.
Yeah, I did a tour to a handful of Canada companies a couple years ago, and they're very loyal to BlackBerry. But that's all slowly starting to change, and actually, BlackBerry's changed how they support their devices, so you can actually support a BlackBerry through AirWatch with their next release. Mm-hmm. So a big part of our next release is all BlackBerry support. So
that's cool.
So hopefully they'll get back their loyal Toronto patrons.
Nice. Heard here first. The next big BlackBerry release. I like it.
Yeah.
And I guess, Lisa, do you guys see anything for you, like, you know, for the Windows and the BlackBerry side, what's that look like, you know, from a marketing standpoint? Is that just something that's too small for companies to invest in?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Right now?
I wouldn't necessarily go there. But I do have a question for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I once heard the CEO of Marriott speak, and he said, and I just, it was one of those aha moments where he said, kids are the CIOs and the VPs of research of the household, right? So if you think about it, they are our future CIOs of the household. So if I'm the CEO or the COO, right, of my household, do you think there'll be a model for MDM within a household environment, or is that Apple family?
I like this, the AirWatch family.
Yeah, is that an Apple family share, whatever? You know, they're kind of moving in that direction. But do you foresee AirWatch or somebody kind of taking that market, or maybe I'm giving you guys a new business idea, to kind of manage that? Because as a parent, I'll tell you, it's hard. I got to lock that sucker down. And it's a huge time suck.
Yeah, no.
To keep track.
Yeah, you're spot on. It is a real problem. We get asked from our customers pretty regularly when they deploy our software.
Right.
And they say, a lot of them don't want to use it themselves. They want to give it to their kids and put it on their kids' device to just limit what apps they're downloading, limit how much time they spend on the apps, what websites they can go to.
Exactly.
It's a very relevant market. It's something we've always talked about, not something we've actively pursued, but we've started to see companies go into that space. So Lookout is one that comes packaged with some of the carrier plans now that have gotten into that space. And so it's not crazy to think, you know, maybe in the future it's something we'd want to look out.
Call me.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sale number one. You gotta get one.
And, and I do have to plug,
I'll head it up for you.
When Lisa was mentioning the top three kind of companies with a mobile presence, CVS, Walgreens, and Starbucks all use AirWatch for their retail store presence for mobility.
Nice. So you're taking all the credit for this. I like that. That's nice. For you guys, what is mobile marketing look like for you? Are you guys straight up just going selling to companies, or do you guys have any online presence on mobile devices or supporting that type of functionality or features?
Yeah, so we interact probably in two ways. Using it ourselves, we spend a ton of money on AdWords and remarketing and campaigns. I think more importantly, what our software helps companies do is enable that type of experience on mobile. So especially a lot of the brands, we're doing projects with IHG, with Four Seasons, all of the really high-end luxury brands are using our software. Sephora's doing things in their stores where all of their consumer-facing tablets, you walk into a Sephora store, they hand you a tablet, you know, while you're sitting in a chair getting your makeup done, as I'm sure you do.
I know where my money goes. It's fine, yeah.
All of those devices are using our software. We can send the messages, send the push messages, make sure the latest version of the app is on the device. And that's an important aspect to itself, just having the latest version of an app on all of a retail consumer-facing device, because that has your latest price sheet, that has your latest promotion. And, you know, even just that small problem is something important that we solve.
Yeah.
Cool. And I guess, Lisa, for you, the mobile web, so actually having, instead of apps, I know there's been a big discussion around people only use 7 to 10 apps on their phones, and the mobile web is becoming a lot more prevalent. What are you guys seeing with that? Is there anything that you observed as trends and that people should be thinking about for, you know, supporting that instead of apps in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, again, it depends on what the service offering is, and if the timeliness of it, or you know, is it utility based, as I was talking about before, then you probably look to, you know, put more of your effort around apps. Mobile web, if it's more informational, you know, the information that you're serving up, that mobile web would probably be a better bet. But you should have both, really. I mean,
Not everybody should have an app. I guess, like you said, if you're tracking it, it's you're gonna know what's working and what's not working, and then you cut the one that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Lisa, you're doing consulting with the West Marketing Group right now. Where can people find more about you?
My gig. While I'm looking for the next opportunity, it's lisawest1@gmail.com.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
Kabir, thank you for being on today. It was fantastic chatting with you guys. And it was AirWatch, AIR-WATCH.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you guys very, very much. And we'll talk to everybody next week. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.